This is the marriage program on Radio Islam International, and we are joined on the line by Maulana Dr. Sulaiman Ibrahim. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakumullah khairan for joining us on the program this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah for the opportunity.
The discussion that we have in this morning is with regards to the article that was published in the Sunday Independent on Sunday, rather last week, and they spoke about, you know, this young couple in school, and an 18-year-old pupil then proposed to his 16-year-old girlfriend, and the video went viral. It was placed on social media, and when the school authorities got to find out about it, they had suspended the children, and thereafter confiscated the ring as well. And after this year, there were many experts that came in, some saying that, you know, school is not a place of romance, it's a place of education, while others said that these two have been dating for a long time, and they have fallen in love, and the school has no right to prevent them from this. And this is the way that they have grown up, and this is the decision that they wanted to make. Now, we've seen an increase in this, and these type of proposals as well, whether it be in the schoolyard, or people have this, you know, this perception that when it comes to marriage, it should be something romantic. You know, I want my future husband to propose to me while we're on a hot air balloon or stuff like that. So, Ma, when it comes to this, you know, what roles have these fairy tales played, you know, in creating this this image of marriage? And you know, young couples have this, that, you know, we're going to live happily ever after, and not realizing that there are challenges in maintaining a marriage.
No doubt, if we go back and we look at what is marriage, marriage is an institution to protect the chastity of the couple. It is also a place where children will grow up in a wholesome environment, and it is there also to satisfy our physical needs. Unfortunately, in the world we live in today, everything has been turned upside down. What was wholesome has been made to sound terrible, and what was terrible has been made to sound wholesome. So we find that dating, and as you said, going up in a hot air balloon, and all those things have been applauded and have been, you know, encouraged. And the reality of it, we have forgotten about the basics of marriage, and the basis of marriage is chastity and trust. So what happens is, I find it very astounding that the school says that this kind of thing, like giving proposals, is not welcome on the school grounds, but yet they have not spoken about intimate relations between boys and girls. They have not spoken about romancing. None of those things are prohibited. But that is closer to wholesome, that is prohibited. And we see this, as you said, in the fairy tales, it has been glorified to have a girlfriend, to have a boyfriend. And with that, life seems so much happier, everybody's okay, and as you say, we loved happily ever after. They forget the fairy tale ends at that point, it doesn't discuss the aftermath of it. Interestingly, in a survey in America, they found, and just before that, America now, less and less people are getting married because of this popular myth that you really don't need to get married. So, if you look at it, the percentage of Americans that are single now is 44% by choice. Mm. And the percentage of New York State adults that are unmarried is 50% by choice. So the whole thing, they have fallen hook, line, and sinker into this propaganda that premarital relations are not a problem. It is only natural. And if you go back in history, throughout time, not only the Muslims, but the Jews and the Christians have prohibited it for no reason. Not because we want to make the life of our children difficult, but because we understand, and because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mostly, He understands His creation. So coming back to this, really this happily ever after, and all these concepts of premarital relations and dating is not harmful, these are concepts that are not only foreign to our deen, they are foreign to the fitrat, the nature of man. And the sooner we start going back to our fitrat and living in wholesome relationships, the less divorces we'll see. America, as I mentioned now, although many people are opting not to get married, of the marriages that are taking place, close to 40% end within 3 years. Mm. So it's really, we have created a society that is so corrupted, so mixed up. If you look at it, I was just doing some little bit of homework before the talk and trying to find out what is happening, because we usually follow the trends that that happen in America, and they come to us, like a little tsunami, and before we know it, we're overwhelmed. But 40% of Americans use online dating services. So in other words, you're not looking for a spouse, you're looking for the little bit of fun.
Yeah.
And the one that literally, that, you know what, you shook me a little bit, that those between the age of 55 and 64, there's been a 6% increase from 2013 to 2015. Mm. So this whole culture of just what we call it hedonism, satisfy yourself, and the real truth, Mulan, is that you will never satisfy yourself except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be satisfied. So you go from one relation to the next and you'll never be happy. So romance, all those things after marriage, 100%, it is there and it does exist. Romance before marriage is a myth and is exactly a fairy tale that will not end happily ever after.
As we mentioned, Moaz, as you mentioned that, it was something that was created by the West. If you look in the faiths, Islam, Christianity, and the Jewish faith as well, have not allowed this premarital relationships, and it has become something of the norm as well. When you speak to the youngsters, those between the age of even 14 and 18, and you tell them, you know, the proper way of finding a spouse and the proper way of getting married. You'll hear them saying, that's so boring. I don't even know the person. Or, I need to get to know them. I need to know which person is correct for me. I need to, they use these terms when you speak to them. They say that, how can I just give my life over to that person? They want to basically date. They want to see if this person is the right person for me. So they've created this concept of dating. And as you mentioned as well, the online dating as well. What are the evils that come with it, Maulana?
First of all, that whole concept is a fallacy in that, if I date somebody, I will come to know them, I will understand them better, and our marital relation will be much better than people who don't know one another. But let's look at it and just expose that fallacy. When you date, you go out at your best behavior. Your partner is not going to see you in the morning when you haven't brushed your teeth and your hair hasn't been combed. You're at your best behavior. So the only thing that dating is going to teach us is where to choose the good restaurants, how to buy flowers, and how to be at your best behavior. It teaches you nothing about relations. It teaches you nothing about when your husband comes home and he's tired and irritable. It teaches you nothing when your wife is having a bad hair day. Because the moment things get a bit rough, you say, you know what, I think I have to go back home. My mother's calling me. So end of story. So really, dating is a total fallacy that it prepares you for marriage and it gets you to know that person. In fact, it makes it worse, because the person you knew while dating and the person you married, and you look after 1 week and you say, but who are you? You weren't the same person who used to always call me all the beautiful sugary terms, honey and pumpkin, and we always use food. But it doesn't prepare us for those things. So really, dating is an absolute fallacy on that kind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there was any benefit in it, Allah ta'ala would have told us, okay, get to know the person, then get married. But that was not the sunnah of our Nabi alayhi salam, or any other Nabi. So that means there can be no benefit in it. This is a fallacy, together with the fairy tales and lived happily ever after.
Interesting point there, Moaz. And we see that it is becoming the norm as well. And when we look at that article and that was published, you'll see that when it comes to the schooling system, they've suspended the children, they've confiscated the ring as well, and saying that there is not a place for romance. But when it comes to other aspects as well, then they're not so strict, or they're more lenient with it when it comes to dating. And then the interesting part there, Moaz, just looking from the Islamic perspective as well, they mentioned mentioned that, you know what, they are over the age of 16, they can make their own choices. Why is the school, interfering in their matters? This is a personal decision. So, Ma, if you're looking from the Islamic perspective, is there an appropriate age, or is there something like that when a person is able or when a person should get married?
You know, before we get to that, just a point on how they've corrupted, because if you look at all the ancient religions, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and even others, all of them prohibited premarital relations. Marriage was a very sacred institution. And I quote to you from the Bible, Corinthians, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord and the Lord of the body. In another one it says, but amongst you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. And so you see from there it's very clear, and if they manage to corrupt it amongst the Christians and they corrupted it amongst the Jews, we are not safe from this kind of propaganda at all. And it's going to continue more and more, because the whole thing is about satisfy your nafs. Just do it, whatever comes to your head. And young people at the young age, definitely you have hormones that prompt you towards this thing. It's very tempting, it's very difficult to restrain yourself, and that's why Nabi alayhi salam advised the youth to fast. He gave them certain other advice, that get married as soon as you are able. As far as the age of marriage, it is not a number. Sometimes you meet people at 16 and they display maturity that you might not find in a 21-year-old. And that is why we rely on our parents, we rely on our elders to guide us and say, okay, but I think you are now sufficiently capable of getting married, or capable of, you know, living in a relationship. Because getting married is not just two people living under one roof and sharing one bed. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of tolerance, and it takes a lot of maturity. People have this concept that once you get married, it's like that every day. Husband is going to bring flowers, wife will always be neatly dressed up, and we will always be laughing and joking. So when the difficulties descend upon us, we find it very, very hard. The age, I would believe, is the age of maturity and not a chronological age. When the parents determine that that person is ready, then get them married and support them in it. Because the other thing that we see in society is that I don't have the financial means to get married. I can't look after a wife. I can't afford a wedding. And we delay the process to such an extent that we start causing problems, because as I mentioned, these are young people, they have physical needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was aware of those needs. And we are now creating such a problem, because in the one hadith, Nabi alayhi salam clearly mentioned that don't delay in certain things. And the one thing he mentioned is that for a girl, when her match is found, because then you will spread fitna in this world. And we see it. We delay it, no, she's not ready. Allow her to complete her degree. Allow her to complete her second degree. By that time, we're looking at it, you know, two old people getting married, like in America's now. I mean, it's become, the average age for marriage has been increasing and increasing. And now the average age that couples get married is usually 31 or 32. And by that time, you pass those physical needs that you had to be satisfied. And they were satisfied in some other place. So you started on the basis of difficulty, you're going to live in difficulty, and you'll end the relationship in difficulty. So age is not the thing about a number. The age is so much as two young people are mature, they understand the importance of relationships. Because if you get them married at 16 or 15, in the old days, I know in my parents' days, my mother would got married at 16, and they were ready for it. At 17, she had her first child. Today, I don't know if all the old girls are ready for it. They're not prepared for it. If she's determined to go and study, then you're going to have a problem, because now there's a conflict of interest. Yeah, I got this little child at home, and my career is destroyed, or my life is destroyed. So we need to understand from there that it is only based on each individual case. and the parents should help in guiding whether the child is capable of getting married or not.
Whether the child is capable of getting married or not, that's the important thing. And we'll see that, you know, the word that is used a lot when it comes to marriage is the person needs to be mature. The person has to, you know, so it's not only about the physical maturity as well, Ma, but the other aspects as well that a person needs to keep in mind. You know, growing up, I would remember that the people who tell us that, oh, you want to get married, or you're speaking about getting married, you're still wet behind the ears. And they would use the other terms as well that I cannot mention on the radio station. But what are the other aspects that should be kept in mind when we speak about the person's maturity?
I came across a very beautiful saying, and it says, you have not grown up when you can take care of yourself. You have truly grown up when you can take care of somebody else. Mm. And that, I think, is what marriage is about, that you look at the rights of your partner, you look at the life of your partner. You are so big that it's not only about me. And when you're young, everything is about me. If you look at a little child, everything he wants, you know, I want the sweet. Whether it helps me, benefits, I mean, whether it harms me or not, I don't care, but I want the sweet. And we grow up like that, even into our teenage years. I want that. And when young people get married with that kind of mindset of not sharing, of not looking at the other partner, in a very short space of time, we find that marriage starts falling apart because the person is only looking at their own needs and not looking at their partner. They forget that they're in a relationship for everything, not just, you know, for their physical needs. And this is the difficulty that we face with a lot of marriages, that people look either into that fairy tale story that everything's going to be brilliant and everything's going to be perfect, or alternatively, how often, well, you know, you sit in counseling and the men will say, but she's not looking after my needs. And the wife will say, he's not looking, he doesn't know what my needs are. But in marriage, it's about looking at the other person's needs. And when we satisfy that person's needs, naturally they will satisfy your needs. So the maturity is not only that about, you know, being able to see and understand problems, it's also how you communicate, to be tolerant, to be able to deal with difficulties, not to throw the toys out of the cot every time something small happens and we go into war and, you know what, go to your mother's house. We deal with it in a mature, in a reasonable way. And that is, sadly, we don't even train our children for that. We don't guide them to that. We treat them in their own homes. They grow up as little princes and princesses. And when marriage comes, now suddenly you've got to look after somebody else's prince or princess. And it becomes difficult because you were the prince. You're not supposed to do the work. So we need to guide our children and help them that marriage is a beautiful thing. It's a comfortable thing. It's something unlike how the West has made it, that you don't need marriage. All you need is a partnership. In fact, the term now popularly banded about is universal partnership. So we just stick or hang around together. There's no commitment, there's no real bond, and there's no real sacrifice. So if I'm not comfortable, fine, I'll log on to the online dating site and I'll move on and I'll find somebody else. And like that, I'll hop, like the bee goes flower to flower, and hopefully I'll find some nectar. Wallahi, you will never find any nectar, you will never find any enjoyment, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only kept enjoyment in the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need to guide our children a bit more. And how are we going to counteract the propaganda that is being flung at us from every angle and every side, from the cartoons that children watch? It's kind of frightening. Mickey Mouse has got Minnie Mouse. Everybody has got a partner. Nobody talks of marriage. Yeah. You look at the princesses from Disney and you look at, you know what, beauty, and all those things propagate one thing, that they have a relationship, but don't worry about the marriage. Don't worry about the commitment of it. Don't worry about the sacrifices, the difficulties that you're going to go through. It's only the fun time. Live happily ever after, as you mentioned.
Ma, the one concern that we speak about this, and you know, we can speak about the harms and the evils of dating and so forth, but we live in an era where, you know, intermingling in schools will take place, you know, whether it's in the public school or private school, and teenagers will be attracted, you know, to the opposite gender. So as parents and as teachers as well, you know, to avoid these sort of situations as we've seen in that article, what is the right way or the correct way, you know, to teach them or explain to them so that they are able to then make the right decision? You, as a parent or even as a teacher, you're not going to be able to protect them at every moment. You're not going to be there with them at every moment. So what type of teaching or what type of education should you be giving them with regards to something like this?
Very true. We're not able to police them, and really many of the schools and even parents try hard that, you know, keep the boys and the girls separate, try and minimize the contact and all those kind of things. But if we instill in them two things, the one is the quality of taqwa, that really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing our every action. Allah ta'ala is looking at it, and He is fully aware. We can hide, we can do whatever, but there is no hiding away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will never be able to escape His vision. If we can get that into a child, and then we can also, the second one, that this world is but temporary. This of satisfying ourselves in this world, of doing everything, of enjoying ourselves to the maximum. And that doesn't only extend to gender relations. It extends to everything. Eat what you feel like, do what you feel like, act as you wish, because your life is this. That is not our concept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised celestial spouses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us a jannat. All is thing in exchange for the short life. And that reality we need to get into ourselves and into our children, that this life is a very temporary abode. Our purpose on this life is not for the sake of satisfying ourselves and our loves. Our purpose in this world is to earn the pleasure of Allah. Then comes the real pleasure. And when we can put that into our children, then we will understand and they will understand what is our purpose. Today we teach deen. We teach them all the ahkam, all the laws, all the what is halal, haram, the sunnah, the mustahabat. But we don't teach them about what is the reality of life, that this life is short. And really our connection ought to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when we teach them who Allah is, then you people will find it. And we read the stories of the Sahaba, we read the stories of the youngsters of the old. They did not find it difficult. In fact, they found enjoyment in giving their lives over to Allah, in remaining chaste. And we can quote so many stories about it. Because when you know what is the reality of life, you will not be hoodwinked by the fairy tales. And you will know lived happily ever after is only in Akhirat and is only in Jannah.
That is true, that when a person lives that life to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what will bring happiness to him. Ma, jazakumullah khairan for joining us on the program and sharing with us the advices.
Jazakumullah for the opportunity.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Maulana Dr. Sulaiman Ibrahim, and speaking to us about this misunderstanding that our youngsters have of today, or the youngsters have, especially those that are going into school between the ages of 15 and 18 or 15 and 20, thinking that I need to look around, I need to find the perfect person, I have to get to know that person before I can marry them. And he mentioned that when a person is this type of relationship, every day you're going to be on the best of your behavior. That when you meet that person, you're only meeting them for a few hours or maybe for one day. So you're always on your best behavior. So you don't really get to know exactly who that person or what type of a person they are. 15 minutes to the hour of 11 here on the marriage program on Radio Islam International. We take a short break. When we come back, we will continue with the program. 8 minutes to the hour of 11 on the marriage program on Radio Islam International on the Saturday morning. And we have been discussing, you know, the harms or the evils of dating and this misunderstanding that we have nowadays. And we pick this up from the fairy tales and other things that we follow, that everything is going to be, you know, happily ever after. Whereas there are challenges that come with the marriage as well. There are there will be tough times. There will be, you know, it's not always smiling and happy. But there are things, and a person needs to be able to handle this. Has to be matured enough to handle this in order to be ready for marriage. And we find that the stats that were given earlier by Maulana Dr. Sulaiman Ibrahim of the increase in, you know, the dating, online dating as well. And one of the ulama had mentioned, you know, a very pertinent point, saying that the reason for the increase in dating and the reason for the increase in premarital relationship nowadays is that we have made nikah and we have made this marriage something which is difficult. And he further goes on to explain, and he says that dating has become easy in today's time, whereas marriage has become something difficult. That when a person wants to get married, then we say, you know, you have to do this, or you have to, you know, give this type of a walima, you have to have this type of a function, you have to invite so and so people. So it becomes, at times, it could be difficult for a person. When a person keeps this in mind, then he delays the nikah so that he can then live up to the standards that the society of today have set. And this is against the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would advise that when that lady, or when that girl or that woman is at of the right age, and she gets a good proposal, then the nikah should be done, and it should be done as quickly as possible. And when a suitable partner is found, then the nikah should be done as soon as possible. And when you look into the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were the guiding stars. You know, they were the best role models. We should try to follow their lives. They had brought Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnahs into their life. And you'll find many instances where they would get married and it would be, you know, there would just maybe even three or four people would be invited for the walima. It would be very simple. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nikah as well. You'll find when he had married one of the Azwaja Mutahharat, that they would just lay it on the floor. The dasturkhan would be laid on the floor. Whatever people had would be brought. And that would be the walima of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fancy function, no inviting of that person and that, or that person has to attend. Even to the extent you'll find in some of the hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see a sahabi and he would ask him, did you get married? At that time they would have this something that, you know, would be found on their clothing or on their body, which would be a sign that this person was recently married. And he would say, did you get married? And this person would reply, yes, I did get married. So one point that I remember when we were coming across this hadith in Marissa, that one of our satira had mentioned that, look at this. Today we worry about, you know, this person has to be invited, this person has to be invited. Where that time this person got married, and at that time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, but he, the sahabi, he knew that, you know, marriage is a necessity. I don't need to really invite every or each and every person. And in that place in Medina Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also was not aware of that nikah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't keep any, you know, dislike towards him. Oh, you didn't invite me to your wedding. Oh, you didn't even tell him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just asked him, have you got married? And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him some advice as well with regards to marriage. So we learn from here that when we make it simple again, when we bring the simplicity back into the nikah, when we bring the simplicity back into the walima, that is when we will rid off all of these evil this evil actions that have creeped up in our societies. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that you know, the best walima is the simplest walima. That is the one that has the most barakah. So these are the teachings that we need to, you know, bring back into our communities, bring back into our lives as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to do so. And with that, we do come to the end of the marriage program this Saturday morning. Inshallah, we will be back next week. From myself, Ibrahim Dai, and our studio operator, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.